Mazzara and Parra project to Alimora. Herrera, Cabrera, don't let the bay that scare ya. Machado or Bono or Nolan Garantano.
Teach you how to win Rondo. Start, sit, and drop, and all you need to know. Alonzarek Porcello. Now let's get on with the show.
David Phelps and Chad Green, are they going to help you win fantasy championships? We'll find out. Let's talk to Scott White today on the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast. Just me and Scott on this Tuesday, August 16th. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning, Adam.
How you feeling today? You feeling better than yesterday?
I am feeling a little better than yesterday, yes.
Good.
Got up on the right side of the bed this morning. No Heath Cummings here to agitate me.
That's right.
It'll just be you agitating me.
No, I felt bad yesterday. I unintentionally piled on. But everything is cool. Everything is cool. And you know, a fun show. I like today's show because we only had 10 games yesterday and there wasn't that much. So we can kind of freelance a little bit. We can just chat. We can talk about the Olympics. Have you been watching the Olympics?
I have been passively watching the Olympics. My wife is like an Olympic aficionado. Mm. So I'm kind of a Olympics widower the last 2 weeks. Widower. That was the word I tried to say. Because she's there watching it all night, and I'm, you know, kind of taking some of it in the process.
Okay, which country is she rooting for?
Well, I think the USA, right?
All right, good. I'm just checking. That's good to know. I was really into the swimming. I'm not as into the track, but...
Oh, she's all about the track.
I would like to be.
She was a state champion distance runner, so...
Oh, she is?
She was, I mean, in high school.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, there's actually a pretty useful thing on CBSSports.com. It gives you sort of the event guide to the day, so you can find out when to watch. Like, I want to know when USA basketball is playing, and it turns out they are playing Wednesday at 10 a.m. against Argentina. Okay. So that's good. Now, let's talk about baseball here. We're going to talk Phelps and Green. Drew Smyly had another good start. Drew Pomeranz had a good start. Tyler Naquin, Rajay Davis, looking at that platoon there in Cleveland. Shin-Soo Choo on the DL. What does that mean? And we're going to talk about number one overall pick next year. Does it have to be Mike Trout, as he is now in the 2020 club this year? Who are you more excited about, David Phelps or Chad Green?
I am more excited about David Phelps, probably. But there's an amount of excitement for both, I would say. I mean, obviously, this individual start from Green was better than any Phelps has had so far. 11 strikeouts, 2 hits against the Blue Jays of all teams. So that was impressive. And this is coming off a minor league season where he had a 1.52 ERA with more than a strikeout per. So it's not like it's completely out of left field. Green isn't like some high-end prospect, but and you watch him pitch, the stuff looks pretty good. Mid-90s fastball, getting some movement on it. And the strikeout rate, not the strikeout rate, but the swing and miss rate we've seen from him so far in his 33 and a third major league innings is pretty impressive.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah.
Chad Green had
16 swinging strikes yesterday in 6 scoreless innings, 2 hits with 11 strikeouts.
In some of his bad starts, he's been...
Yeah.
You know, last time out, he pitched 3 2/3 innings and had 14 swinging strikes. So
he's got swing and miss stuff, there's no doubt. I've watched pretty much every Chad Green start. They traded Justin Wilson, a relief pitcher, to the Tigers for Chad Green in the offseason, and people were kind of like, what? They also got Luis Sessa back. They wanted some rotation depth. And I think the Yankees liked what they saw in Green. My take on him is he is at one change up away from being a guy that you want on your team, and I think that'll happen next year. This year, I did pick him up last night. I dropped, somebody terrible for him.
What league did you pick him up? Was it a points league, head-to-head points?
No, I thought about it in that league, but I would have had to drop Salvador Perez, who's now my number two catcher.
And who's your number one?
I'm starting Yasmani Grandal right now.
Oh, wow.
Dude, Perez is the worst.
I mean, I still rank him over Grandal. I don't blame you for playing the hot hand right now. But yeah, you're not dropping him for anybody.
I know. And here's the thing. Like, I just think Green had a great start. I wouldn't be surprised if he got clobbered in his next start, because that's kind of what he's been doing.
I wouldn't either, which is why I say I'm more excited about Phelps, even though I just, you know, was hyping Green. I mean, Green did have a start kind of like this against the Padres July 3rd, 8 strikeouts and 6 3-hit innings. And then, you know, we haven't really heard much from him since. So I could definitely see that happening again. But Phelps now, not blow you away kind of starts. He's still building up his innings after pitching in a setup role most of the year, but 3 solid starts for a guy who we know has pretty good stuff. It's just a continuation of the Danny Duffy comparison. A guy really finds his niche in short relief and then seems to carry that same mentality and same velocity, to be more exact, over to the starting role. And he gets extended to 6-7 innings. It could be pretty special.
Yeah. Would you rather have Phelps or Luke Weaver?
I would rather have Phelps. And, I think that's even taking the SPARP factor out of it. By the way, Chad Green is a SPARP as well.
Right.
Both have relief pitcher eligibility, which is why I asked if it was a points league. That's where I'm most excited about Phelps and Green.
Okay, and would you rather have Phelps or his teammate Tom Kohler?
Phelps.
Phelps or Robbie Ray?
Phelps.
How you feel about what you got from Robbie Ray last night?
Decent? Could have been better. Wasn't exactly what I was hoping for, but you got a win out of it. I don't think you can be disappointed if you picked him up for the 2-start week. I just don't know that I'm not dropping him today for Phelps, you know?
Ray gave up 1 earned run, 2 runs in 5 innings, 8 hits, and 2 walks, 5 strikeouts against the Mets. So he's had 2, you know, good starts against the Mets, although he did have a 2 whip in this start. But, you know, when you see this start from Robbie Ray, are you thinking, I'm fine? Now I've got him for the 2 starts this week. I'm fine dropping him now for somebody else next week?
Yeah, that's kind of what I meant when I said.
Right.
This performance wouldn't stop me from dropping him, Phelps or any other player I'm looking at on the waiver wire.
Okay. And who did I drop for Chad Green in the Roto League we're in? I dropped Mike Zunino, a third catcher, for Chad Green. And Zunino had 2 hits yesterday, but whatever.
That is an abundance of wealth there.
What, 3 catchers?
I mean, if in a 2 catcher league you're able to drop Zunino, that's...
Well, you know
that's
who
nice.
My 2 catchers are? One of them, stupid Salvador Perez, which is why I picked up Mike Zunino. Look, it's the same thing. Are you considering moving Perez down in your rankings? We've seen it now. This is 3 straight years where Ned Yost ruins Salvador Perez in the second half.
I know, but he gets so many at-bats.
He does nothing with him. It's been so bad.
Well, who am I going to move him behind? Because here's the thing. I had Brian McCann ahead of him, and I just moved McCann behind him because McCann, you know, I'm more concerned about McCann's value with Sanchez in the picture, and they still give Austin Romine starts behind the plate sometimes. It seems like Sanchez is getting preferential treatment over McCann.
Yeah, no, you're right. I agree. I would actually rather have Perez than McCann, but I think I'd rather – I know you don't really like Grandal. I'd rather have Grandal. Yeah, you're right. I mean, who do you, I could see starting, I think we talked about this last week, not me and you, maybe me and Al. Love you, Al. I would start Gary Sanchez over Salvador Perez. I don't know that I would drop, Perez for Sanchez, but I would be starting Gary Sanchez over Perez right now.
I'm okay with that in theory. The theory being you're comfortable owning more catchers than you could start because, I mean, you never play a catcher in a utility spot, of course. So it's just consuming a bench spot that you could use for a streamable starting pitcher or whatever. But it's funny to me how slow to the draw fantasy owners have been about some of these new coming catchers, such as Mike Zunino, but even more so Gary Sanchez, still just 49% owned.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it is. I mean,
I do.
I just moved him into my top 12. So 1 catcher leagues. I mean, somebody needs to own him.
I know what it is.
What is it?
So yesterday I picked up Chad Green for $0 in our auction league. Joe Musgrove is 78% owned. Gary Sanchez still widely available. People have given up. People are quitting. Maybe half your league is active right now.
I mean,
look at all the ad drops you made on Saturday in the Real Roto League, which is just no waivers, just ad drops. You picked up a lot of guys. Some of them were very interesting. That doesn't happen 2 months ago.
Some of them were, three of them were just because I'm, you know, desperately trying to get some steals in my lineup. And they were guys who have been out there for a while. But, I mean, there's some truth to that, I'm sure, especially in the case of Musgrove. I'm not sure we'll see him exceed 85%, but enough people are paying attention that Gary Sanchez deserves to be more than 50% owned. I mean, that seems excessive.
Here's some big news from yesterday. Shin-Soo Chu is on the DL with a broken forearm, and he's likely out for the season. So who does this benefit for the Texas Rangers, Scott?
It benefits Jerickson Profar. I think he's back to getting at least close to everyday at-bats with this. I know he's been on and off the waiver wire for a couple months now based on players the Rangers have lost and gained, but this sounds like, a broken bone 6 weeks to go. Sounds like a season ender.
Yeah, you know, the thing with Profar, he hasn't really done that well, so I would mostly be interested if he starts batting leadoff again, which he was doing before the injury to Chu. This might also benefit Mazzara, who sat yesterday until Chu got hurt and he came in and replaced him. But I would really like to see Profar back in that leadoff spot before I really care that much. You?
Well, I mean, infield being as deep as it is,
yeah,
I can't disagree. Like, even somebody like Brad Miller, I don't think I'm dropping him for Profar today. But, you know, getting a deep enough league, he could make a difference.
Miguel Cabrera had a scary injury yesterday, but he's day-to-day with a bicep strain. Danny Salazar is scheduled to start Thursday against the White Sox. Billy Hamilton, oh man, he left with a knee contusion. Should be fine, might miss a day or two. Get well soon, Billy Hamilton. Ooh, AJ Pollock is dominating. I don't know why I did that. Trying to spice it up a little.
Nice effect.
Dude, he's killing it right now on his minor league rehab assignment. Are you excited about that?
Of course.
Yeah.
AJ Pollock, get excited. He's going to be back unless he suffers a setback, which seemingly every player who's recovering from a long-term injury has seemed to done at some point this season. But I'm going to choose to see the glass half full, particularly you Stanton owners, particularly in points leagues where you don't need to replace his exact production. You need to see if Pollock's still available. You can stash him and get him back maybe in a couple weeks.
Yeah, you know, it'll be interesting. I usually don't care about minor league rehab assignment numbers, but I was worried that he was just going to be really bad. He hasn't played all year, but now Pollock is 84% owned. That's way up. Last time we checked, it was in the 60s, so people are on board.
Ah, boo.
Yeah. You probably missed your chance to grab AJ Pollock.
That's sad. If I'm only giving Musgrove an upper limit of 85, then that may be all Pollock has.
Yeah.
So he may have already reached it.
Might be. Miami's interested in Carlos Gomez. We're not. James Paxton tricked us. He's not going to start tonight. He could go on the DL with his elbow injury. I guess the good thing is it's not structural. It's just he took a comebacker off the elbow, but still might have to go on the DL, James Paxton. Tyler Chatwood could go on the DL with a back injury, back spasms. Buster Posey sat for the second straight game with lower body soreness. And Scott, congratulations to Bartolo Colon. He drew his first walk of his career. He set a record. It took him 282 plate appearances to do it. But Robbie Ray walked Bartolo Colon last night. So Colon is in the record
books. Drop him. Drop Robbie Ray.
Yeah, well, you got it again. And some quick lineup notes. Tyler Austin did not start yesterday. Mark Teixeira was back in the lineup for the Yankees against R.A. Dickey. And Tyler Naquin sat once again against the lefty. And Rajay Davis led off and he homered. He doubled. He stole a base. So how about that? You didn't just pick up a steal specialist in Rajay Davis. Hitting for some power again. But he's mostly just starting against lefties. Davis started against the righty on Saturday, but otherwise has just been starting against left-handed pitchers, which they've faced a lot recently. Well, Scott, we did not have exceptional starting pitchers on the mound last night. We did not. But today we're a little bit closer. We got Kluber, Verlander, Syndergaard, Duffy, Hamill, Keuchel, and you can have any of them tonight on FanDuel.com, and that is awesome. If you're bummed that you didn't pick up Danny Duffy, you don't own him in any leagues, you can stop crying because now on FanDuel.com, you don't have to worry about that make a new lineup every single day. Start a stud or take a chance on someone like Irvin Santana at Atlanta. Revenge game. And you have to outsmart your competition. You have to know the splits. It's great fun for people who love fantasy baseball, people who like putting their thinking caps on, looking for different types of advantages. Special offer for new users on FanDuel. Enter your first league and either win a cash prize in that league, or FanDuel will automatically refund your entry fee up to $10 for additional play. Just go to FanDuel.com, click the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, and use our promo code when you sign up. It's HOMERUN, one word, no spaces, HOMERUN on FanDuel.com. You can also check out their football contests now. Week 1 prices are up. Yesterday we said, where would you draft Mookie Betts? And we decided somewhere between 2 and 4. Scott White, why not number 1?
I think it's a legitimate discussion, but it kind of gets back into the Harper-Trout debate we were having at the start of the season. No worries with Trout. You know what he's going to do every year. He's going to be, if not the top hitter in fantasy, very close. So I think that's kind of, that line of thinking has proven valid this year with the way Harper has fallen off. You know, maybe just a complete coincidence, and maybe the same thing could have happened to Trout, but I feel like just for security reasons, I'd lean Trout over Betts or Altuve or Donaldson or anyone else who's in the discussion for the number one pick. I think it'll probably be just those four.
Yeah, but let's compare Betts, I guess, to Harper then. Because I think you could have gone into this season with some concerns about Harper. I mean, he had his one breakout year, but before that, he had always seemed a little disappointing to fantasy owners. And, of course, he was very injury-prone. I don't really see any concerns with Mookie Betts, who, by the way, plate appearance is very important here. Betts is second in plate appearances behind George Springer and ahead of Altuve. So Springer, Betts, Altuve, and then Donaldson are 1 through 4 in plate appearances. Trout is 25th, and he was 16th last year. So I do think he's hurt a little bit by being on such a lousy team. Anyway, Betts, I don't really see any concerns. It seems like he's a rock-solid superstar, whereas Harper, I guess there were some holes you could poke into Harper a little bit. How do you see it with Betts?
Oh, no, I do think the performance for Betts has taken off this year, kind of like it did for Harper last year. I guess there's not the same injury concerns there, but I mean, Betts wasn't even a 20-homer guy last year, so to just assume he's going to be a 30-homer guy every year is, I don't know, maybe going a little far, which isn't to say I don't think he's going to hit 30 home runs next season. It's just, you know, risk versus reward. The reward for both Trout and Betts is very high. Betts might be just a slight bit riskier.
You know, it's interesting with Trout, too. He's having a different type of season than what we've seen the last 2 years. Fewer home runs, but better plate discipline. And now he's got 20 steals again. So it doesn't really matter how he gets there. He's going to figure out a way to get you amazing production. But he is, Trout is the number 3 hitter in Roto and number 4 in points leagues. So it's Altuve 1, Betts 2. And then Trout, Donaldson, 3-4, depending on the format, Scott.
Yeah. And I mean, that's fine with me. If I go into a draft with the number one pick, my hope isn't necessarily to get the number one player. I mean, if it works out that way, great. But more than anything else, I want to get a super stud wherever he ranks. So the one who I'm most confident is going to get me that caliber of production, I think, is the one I should take.
Who's 5th for you?
That's a good question.
Kershaw?
I mean, it might be Kershaw. I want to kind of see where this back issue takes him, because if there's still any whispers of that heading into next season, then that's going to push him down. I think Goldschmidt's still in discussion. I wouldn't put Harper that high, but I think you could still talk about him that high. Arenado, I think, is part of that mix.
Arenado's pretty good.
Yeah. So it's, I mean, even Anthony Rizzo, I think the back half of the first round, kind of like it is every year, it's going to be very interesting. A lot of it'll be a matter of preference, but some good choices there for sure.
Yeah. And I wonder if Charlie Blackmon, as we look at another standout from yesterday, is playing his way into back half of first round status. How about these splits from Charlie Blackmon, who is now, he had a DL stint, right? Yeah, he had a DL stint.
Yes, he did.
Even with his DL stint, he's the number four outfielder in fantasy this year in both points and roto. Now look, seven home runs in his last five games is going to certainly help. He scored 65 fantasy points last week, but these splits really stood out with Blackmon. At home, he's batting 322, 382, 510. Awesome. On the road, he's batting 326, 385, 564. He's been better on the road. Of course, yeah. he homered five times in Philadelphia this past weekend, but still, he's batting 326. Against righties, 316, 376, 567. Amazing slash line. Against lefties, hitting 345, 402, 462. So very little power against lefties. But you know what? This guy, Blackmon, for the last 2 years, has been terrible on the road and terrible against lefties, and he's either holding his own or excelling in those categories this year.
Right. What he's lost in stolen bases, he's gained in everything else, it seems like. So still, I mean, overall, this is the best he's ever been. I know some of those who drafted him in roto leagues are still going to be disappointed because they were expecting the 40 steals like he had last year. And, I mean, those are... It's hard to make up for that. It's a very thin category. I get that. But, I mean, still, this overall is the superior player and one who, yeah, I think we do need to talk about him as potentially being in the first round mix next year. Mm-hmm. I do still have some worry that, you know, maybe he becomes a trade chip for the Rockies. I understand the road numbers are fine, but, you know, like you said, five home runs in another extremely hitter-friendly park skews those a little. I do think a full season away from Coors would hurt him, but it wouldn't destroy him. I feel pretty comfortable saying that now, and I think that's going to make him a pretty low-risk pick next year.
Yeah, and looking at your outfield rankings now, you have Blackmon fourth.
Yep.
And it's Trout, Betts, Bryant, Blackmon, and then after that, like I don't. Heath has Blackmon seventh. I wonder if he's going to move him up. He has Harper, Marte, and Springer ahead of him. Now, this is in a roto league. I don't know what he has in points, but it's, I don't know. I think Blackmon is the clear number four outfielder. I would much rather have him over Springer, Cruz, Harper, Myers, JD Martinez, Braun, etc. I mean, it's crystal clear to me.
I think it is now, but five games ago. What?
Yeah.
That was seven home runs ago. So,
yeah, it's true. It's true.
Yeah, it may just be Heath being a little slow to the draw on that one. It's
sometimes it takes a little while to update rankings. It depends when you get to them, right?
Right, right. Unless you do a very thorough audit of the rankings, unless you do a thorough audit where you're checking every name at every position, things like that can slip through. And you know, that's you're talking a half day process for that. So it's sometimes it just becomes a logistical issue. But I don't know. Maybe he, you know, is just thinking in terms of it being just a hot streak for him. And but you know, I don't even think it matters because it's not like Springer and Blackmon were that far apart even before this.
Exactly.
Stretch.
I think I would have preferred to have Blackmon.
Yeah.
Be quite honest. It's not like Springer stealing bases.
No.
All right, cool. So more from yesterday. D. Gordon. Let's talk about D. Gordon. And since he's come back from his suspension, where would you guess he ranks since he came back from the suspension? It's been since like July 28th or something like that, right around there. Where would you guess?
In what format?
Second base, either format.
Well, I would guess he ranks lower than I would have hoped. And yeah, I have another interesting thought on that, but I'll say 15th at second base.
He's 11th in points leagues. He's 10th in roto.
Okay, so that's actually better than I was thinking.
And that was worse than I was thinking because I've been pretty happy with D. Gordon as a Gordon owner in one league that's still going, one league that's I've been eliminated. But, you know, since coming back, he's batting 321. He has 7 steals and 9 attempts. Best plate discipline we've ever seen from him, 9 walks to 10 strikeouts. Only two runs batted in, which is amazing. That probably will go up. But yeah, I mean, second base has just been so good. That's part of the reason. But still, I'm happy with what Gordon's given us.
I think it's, yeah, I think you should be, particularly in those roto leagues. I think he's more valuable than the actual rankings would suggest, just because there are so few reliable steal sources out there who you trust to play every day and contribute in some other areas as well. The reason I wasn't expecting him to show up particularly high is because I went through the same exercise the other day with Anthony Rendon, who, if you see what he's done lately, 8 of his 15 home runs this season have come in his last 33 games. So, oh, wow, that's a great 33-game stretch for Anthony Rendon, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, heading into yesterday's game, he was only the 12th best second baseman in both head-to-head and roto during that 33-game stretch. So, yeah, it's just a loaded position.
Yeah, but you're still happy with the production you're getting. That's the bottom line. And I was really disappointed. I am overreacting to one game, and this is not really a serious overreaction. I'm totally fine with it. But how does Anthony Rendon go 0-for-4, I think, with a strikeout yesterday at Colorado? One of the hottest hitters.
Two strikeouts.
Two strikeouts. I mean, give me a break. I sat, you ready for this? I sat Matt Carpenter this week, partially for Anthony Rendon.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
What is this depth you have in these leagues?
Okay, this is amazing. In our podcast league, right, I'm having a very average year, even though I have the best record. I'm like middle of the pack in fantasy points. I've had three nail biters in a row. It's been very fun the last few weeks. I'm 2-1 in these nail biters. I can't imagine I've ever had this situation without knowing for sure. I've got 5 bench spots in the podcast league, 12-team head-to-head points. I'm using 4 of them on hitters. It's usually at least 3 pitcher bench spots and usually 4 pitchers, 1 hitter on my bench. It's pathetic. I can't find any pitchers I want, and I've got 4 hitters on my bench that I feel like are too good to drop, too good to sit in many cases. It's crazy.
And you can't trade anymore, right?
We can trade fast for the next few days.
Oh.
Yeah,
wow.
I know. I need to make a trade.
Out there. Make some offers.
I need to make a trade. No doubt. But yeah, Carpenter didn't make the cut. I started Billy Hamilton over him. I started Andrew McCutchen over him. I started Rendon over him. And partially because Carpenter's got 5 games this week. But also.
Yeah. I could understand that given the circumstances. It still just seems crazy that you'd be able to sit Carpenter.
I'm slightly concerned about Matt Carpenter. He had a good week last week. I think it was a largely one game. And the reason I'm concerned is because he came back fairly quickly from the oblique. And then he was removed in that one game where they said he was swinging tentatively or whatever.
Yeah.
And then he had a really bad weekend. So I'm a little bit concerned about Carpenter right now.
Okay.
Not like actionable. You know how we say, what are you going to do about it?
Right.
And if he had 6 games, I would have started him.
You're just going to stay up at night.
I am. Yes. I have been staying up. It's been really Matt Carpenter giving me a lot of angst. A lot of angst. Okay, so since D. Gordon has gotten back, there's been a chain reaction in the Marlins lineup. JT Realmuto has gone from the leadoff spot to the middle of the order, and he has struggled, probably unrelated. But since D. Gordon returned, JT Realmuto is the number 17 catcher in points leagues, number 18 in rotisserie leagues. He had the 4th most at-bats at the position before Gordon returned. Since Gordon returned, Realmuto still has the 6th most at-bats at catcher. Anything that you're worried about here with Realmuto, or is it just a cold streak?
I'm not especially worried, no. I think the position he plays makes it easier not to worry. But no, I don't plan on sitting him anywhere.
How about Eduardo Nunez? He's 91% owned. He has been terrible since the All-Star break, although a homer yesterday, a steal the day before. But batting 191 with 1 home run and 7 steals, which is nice since the All-Star break. 91% owned for Nunez. Do you think he's droppable?
I do. I actually did in the podcast league, even though I'm out of contention. I'm still making moves right up to the end.
Good for you.
And he's out for me. Yonhervis Solarte is my second baseman instead. And I think that makes sense in leagues where, other than Roto, where obviously you need the stolen bases and he's still delivering those. But yeah, it was easy. And all the angst over the at-bats, he looked like he'd lose going over to the Giants before they, of course, traded Matt Duffy. It was easy to lose sight of the fact that probably had a lot of regression coming anyway.
Yeah.
I think we're seeing that now.
What happened? This is a great fantasy question. People out there, if you have the answer, write in. What happened to Scott White in the podcast league? Because let me read you the league details. All the way at the bottom, there's a commissioner message. And it says, League Champions. 2010, Scott White. 2011, Scott White. 2012, Adam Azer. 2013, Scott White. He couldn't let me have it for more than 1 year. 2014, Dutch Keel, a listener. 2015, Scott White. He couldn't let the listeners have it for more than 1 year. Scott White has won four of the last six podcast points leagues. Yep. And he spit the bit this year. What happened to Scott White?
That's what I want to know, Adam. I'd really like to know that. Because, I mean, even looking at my team now, like, I feel like it should be better than this. I have Buster Posey, the best catcher. I have Paul Goldschmidt. Hasn't turned out to be the best first baseman, but still awesome. Bryce Harper, Chris Bryant. Those are four of my players right there. That should, by themselves, count for a lot, right?
Well, three of them, I would say, were disappointing this year.
I mean, disappointing relatively speaking. They're still studs. I do think Harper maybe, just the way his season has unfolded, with so much of it being front-loaded, I found that the few leagues I do own Harper in, I'm disappointing in all of them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he's kind of partly to blame there. I don't think my hitting's the problem.
It's not. Because you also have Corey Seager, who's pretty good.
Right, Corey Seager is my shortstop. There's not really a weak spot in my lineup.
I know what happened, Scott. Usually you load up on hitters and you're able to fill in the blanks with pitchers, and this just hasn't been a year for that. It's been tough, and I think your pitching has suffered. And honestly, it's happened to me too. The only difference between me and you is I've been really lucky this year in the podcast league, and you've probably been unlucky.
Yeah, no, this was actually the one league where I strayed the most from my intended strategy this season to get three of what in my mind were true aces. I only got one in Carlos Carrasco, who was hurt for a lot of the year. And then I actually, Noah Syndergaard was my second one, and he actually turned out to be that kind of pitcher, but I used him to get Goldschmidt and really haven't been able I haven't capitalized on any of the breakout pitchers off waiver wire this year like I usually do. And there haven't been as many, which hurt in that regard, but I think the attentiveness of the other owners kind of, they outplayed me in that regard because they scooped them up before I even had a chance.
Yeah.
So it's always kudos a tough to league. Them.
Always a tough league, though. The listeners really do a great job. One other struggling player in three down is Ian Desmond. Anything to say about him? He's batting 190 with no extra base hits and no steals, two walks in 17 games in 13 games in August. Ian Desmond predictably struggling, right?
Yes, but not something I'm going to take action with. I think he's just too valuable.
How crazy? How crazy? Bat poop crazy would you have to be?
Bat poop.
To bench Ian Desmond for Brad Miller.
You would have to be off your rocker crazy.
Okay.
No, I won't even say that. I feel like Heath was kind of alluding to this yesterday. I feel like we've reached the point into the season where really no lineup decision is crazy. I mean, you're dealing like every week, at least in a head-to-head league, where if you're not in the playoffs yet, you're entering them, you're fighting for positioning. Every week is like a must-win situation in such a small sample size that, the trust is kind of out the window, and you just kind of have to go with your gut who you think is going to have the best performance that week. And obviously Miller's the hotter hand, depending on how many righties the Rays are facing. I think it's defensible. I would rarely do it just because, unless there's a really good reason not to trust your studs, I'd rather lose with them than lose because I chose not to play them, you know?
Yeah, it's just when a guy like that who has such bad plate discipline, when he goes bad, he goes really bad, Ian Desmond.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
So he could really sink you right now. By the way, off your rocker, why is that? I mean, what a strange expression. I'm trying to look up the origins now. Why do we say that, off your rocker?
I don't know. I don't know. I was actually torn between that and Out of Your Gourd.
Out of Your Gourd.
I almost went with Out of Your Gourd instead, which I think is a little more. Yeah, there you can understand that expression a little more, because gourd, yeah, just synonymous for head.
I see. I never heard anyone call a head a gourd.
Never?
No, I don't think so.
Wow. Maybe I mean, even when you're like when you're making a scarecrow, the head is a gourd.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
See, I didn't grow up on a farm. I've never.
Well, neither did I. But
yeah, you clearly grew up on a farm, Scott.
Come on.
All right. So, Trout, did we have baseball to talk about? Yeah, no, we have some baseball to talk about. We did not talk about Drew Pomeranz yet. He and Felix Hernandez both had pretty good starts last night. Pomeranz at Cleveland, Felix Hernandez at the Angels. And I would say this was the best start so far as a Red Sox for Drew Pomeranz.
Yeah.
But Hernandez walked four again. How are you feeling about these two guys down the stretch? Do you trust Pomeranz and Felix?
I think trust is putting it a little strong, but I mean, I can't imagine too many owners have the pitching depth not to start them, especially Felix. I feel a little better about him than Pomeranz because this is really three starts in a row where he hasn't been vintage Felix. The walks have been kind of high, but the strikeouts have also been, frankly, better than I expect from Felix these days.
Yep.
And, you know, I say three starts in a row. It's worth remembering that the first of those starts, which was four earned runs in eight innings, it was only one earned run over the final seven of those innings. So, yeah, I think it's I think he's mostly trustworthy again.
Hernandez does have 30 strikeouts and 26 and two-thirds over his last four starts. He also has 16 walks in that stretch, but certainly pitching better right now. Fringy starting pitchers, part one. These guys are owned in over 80% of leagues. Should they be? Ian Kennedy, 104 ERA in his last four starts. Matt Moore, 18 walks and 24 strikeouts in his last four starts. This was the only one, though, last night that was actually a bad start. The other three were all quality starts, but the walks are back for Matt Moore. He's 93% owned. Andrew Smiley is 81% owned, and in his last five starts, Smiley is 3-0 with a 2.25 ERA, a sub-1 whip, and 23 strikeouts. That doesn't sound right. Yeah, no, probably is. He had that one strikeout game or whatever.
Oh, he's only had one good strikeout game during this stretch. Most of them have been bad.
Yeah, it's
in terms
pretty,
of strikeouts.
Pretty strange. He has faced Oakland, the Yankees, and Kansas City. They don't strike out a ton. The last two starts have been Toronto and San Diego. Those teams are a little more freewheeling at the plate. So I'm sorry, Scott. Kennedy, Moore, Smiley, should they all be owned? They're all two-star pitchers this week in more than 80% of leagues.
I'm honest. I think so. The short answer is yes, but I'm just now saying that for Smiley. I'm surprised he's as owned as he is, considering he's 5-11 with a 4.85 ERA and had, you know, really disastrous stretch when the time of year when everybody was paying attention. So I'm surprised he is, but
five starts
is good enough for me to give him another shot. Even though the strikeouts have underwhelmed me, he did have 15 swings and misses in this start, despite only four strikeouts. Obviously, he did have a 10 strikeout game during this stretch, so it's not like it's completely gone away. And I do worry about the home run still. Want to pay close attention to venues for him, but I think he's somebody to keep around as a streaming source who you know has a good chance of giving you a decent number of innings. And Kennedy, Kennedy, you look at his overall numbers again with the way these last four starts have gone. They look pretty good all of a sudden.
He's such a tease, though.
I know he is, but
who's your favorite on that list?
A high 3 ZRA is worth a lot more this year than it was last year.
It's true. Who's your favorite on that list? Kennedy, Moore, Smiley?
Yeah, Kennedy, probably.
Yeah.
Although it was Moore prior to yesterday's game. You want to talk a tease. That guy's a tease.
Yeah, well, all three of these guys have been pretty frustrating this year. Starting pitchers part two. Robbie Ray, Brandon Finnegan, Martin Perez, and Daniel Norris. All picked up in some leagues for two-start weeks. Robbie Ray, Brandon Finnegan, Martin Perez, and Daniel Norris. Any of them worth holding on to?
Maybe Ray. But, man, I am so over Brandon Finnegan. I don't know. I don't know why Heath recommended him yesterday. That guy's That guy being Finnegan is garbage. Heath's not garbage.
He had thrown three straight quality starts before yesterday, and he had made a change with a grip on one of his pitches, but the underlying stats weren't very good.
I mean, you're talking to a guy who doesn't do anything right, Brandon Finnegan.
He's a terrible driver. He doesn't comb his hair properly. This guy sucks.
These are his rates: 6.5 strikeouts per nine, 4.5 walks per nine, 1.7 home runs per nine. That is failing on all three levels that matter.
Tony Watson has been good since moving into the closer's role. He's 68% owned. He has 5 saves in August. We're halfway through the month. You know, sometimes, man, my fantasy seasons in those head-to-head points leagues with the shallow rosters, and this happened to me last year, sometimes it's like my weeks are determined by how many saves I get from my closers. I remember the first half of the season last year, my team was unstoppable. I had 2 closers. I think one of them was Casilla. I don't remember the other one. And then save. It was awesome. And then they just went into a drought. And the same thing's happening right now. I have Edwin Diaz and Tony Watson. Watson actually pitched in a non-save situation yesterday, but it seems like every night these guys are getting saves. And it's great. But if it dries up and it's so unpredictable, I don't know. Those closer spots, they actually are they're pretty important in those head-to-head points leagues because the rosters are so shallow. I think they make a pretty big difference. I might start investing a little bit earlier in closer. I'm not sure. I don't know. I might have just talked myself out of it.
Yeah, well, I mean, the thing about it is, you're right. If a good week from a closer goes a long way, but who knows when or from whom you're going to get it.
Right.
You know? I mean, you're Watson and Diaz now.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, that's...
I was just thinking that.
Yeah, I mean, those weren't guys you invested in. You just kind of lucked into them. So they're kind of like an equalizer. Really, it's the same way as a kicker in fantasy football. A good week for a kicker, you know, can be 12 to 15 points. That makes a big difference.
But you know what, Scott? People are starting to eliminate kickers. Should we eliminate closers?
I don't agree with eliminating kickers. And no, I don't think we should eliminate closers. I think it's okay to leave a little luck in a game that's mostly skill.
Okay.
I think it keeps things interesting.
So injuries, news, and notes just to finish some things up. Brett Gardner hoping to return tonight. Garrett Richards played catch yesterday for the first time. He has a torn UCL, but he elected not to have Tommy John. He's having stem cell. He had a stem cell procedure. So Richards through. Any interest in stashing Richards? We're getting pretty late in the year. What do you think?
No, he's not going to make it back this year. I think they just have an eye on next year.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cincinnati sent Cody Reed to AAA.
Just to further the point, he needs to prove himself before a certain date. And if he hasn't by then, they're going to give him Tommy John surgery. So that's why he's kind of gearing up again.
Okay. Cody Reed to AAA and Yoenis Cespedes could be back on Friday. And we finish the show with some emails. At fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Let's grade the trade from Robert Steinerman. He needs a starting pitcher. He gives up Ramos and Paxton. Wilson Ramos and Paxton. He gets back Zunino and Greinke.
I think it's pretty even. I'll say C. Depends on what you feel like you need more. I don't know that my level of trust in Greinke is so high that I'm willing to downgrade from Ramos to Zunino, but it depends how desperate you are for pitching.
Now, if you could drop Zunino and pick up Gary Sanchez, would that make it better?
A little. They're still not Wilson Ramos.
No, they are not. Grade the trade from Chris. Dear Michael, Russell, and Dalton.
Huh. Still know this one. Canada?
Yeah,
they're from Canada?
Canadian-born Blue Jays.
Ah, okay then.
I hope that wasn't really annoying for the listeners. I don't think I've ever whistled on the air before. I'm going to have to listen back to that.
Oh, I'm sure you have.
I'm sure I have.
I've been
doing this for a long time, but I don't remember.
So wait, that's Michael Saunders, Russell Martin, and Dalton...
Pompey?
Okay. I didn't realize that.
It's got to be it, right?
I guess. I'll look it up.
12-team head-to-head categories league, non-keeper, grade the trade, give Hosmer and Cody Allen. get Roark and Kelvin Herrera. Hosmer and Cody Allen for Roark and Kelvin Herrera.
Yeah, I do like that because I don't really think Hosmer's starting caliber in a 12-team league anymore. He's fallen off drastically. So, yeah, I'll give it a B.
Yeah, the only problem is you're probably going to lose Herrera as a closer soon.
Right.
Davis is on his way back.
I am anticipating you lose Allen as a closer soon, too. So maybe not as soon, but I think it'll happen.
Matt from New York City. Dear must start, must sit, and mustache. Nearly a month ago. Nearly a month ago, I dropped Weeders and picked up Sandy Leon. Leon has been a top five catcher over the past month. Why is he ranked so low for you guys?
Oh my gosh. I do need to get him in my rankings. I'm realizing now. See, these are the things that slip through the cracks. He's not even in my top 40, which is obviously ridiculous, but he is not somebody you want to rely on long term. It is entirely based on balls in play. And yeah, it actually isn't. He has 5 home runs as well, huh?
Mm-hmm. I kind of feel like they were a little bunched together. Sandy Leon, those home runs.
Well, I mean, he has no history of hitting for power in the minors. Career slugging percentage is .330. He deserves to be a top 20 catcher just because so few catchers do. But he's on the back end of that and, you know, kind of he's going to be kind of probably swapping places with Kurt Suzuki here down the stretch. That's kind of the caliber of catcher I think he's aspiring to be.
Those home runs were not bunchy, by the way. So, yeah, he is hitting a really ridiculous average. He's batting .389.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, I don't have... where's the BABIP here? Because I know it's stupid. And obviously, stupid. You'd expect it to be stupid. Anybody who's hitting .389, but especially so. .468 BABIP. So, I mean...
Yeah. Not going to last.
No.
This is Mike. That was Matt from NYC. This is Mike from NYC. I have excelled at fantasy the last 3 years thanks to a common sense approach, reading great articles, and listening to you guys. I'm debating getting even deeper into the fantasy rabbit hole and starting to do some more of my own research. Might even want to be your colleague one day when I am worthy.
Whoa.
Yeah, we've got an opening.
I can't do this by myself forever.
Having been a bit gun-shy with using Fangraphs and Brooks Baseball, since they're not exactly the prettiest or most intuitive of sites out there, do you have any advice for learning to be a Fangraphs or Brooks Baseball pro who can quickly find data and look for trends that might mean something to fantasy baseball? Well, I can jump in because I'm not very proficient at those websites. In fact, I don't use Fangraphs really. It's a really useful website. You do some sorting on there. You can find like hard contact rate, soft contact rate. Mm-hmm. That stuff's pretty interesting. It's a little deep for me. I actually do use Brooks Baseball, and you can go on Brooks Baseball, put a pitcher's name in. I only use it for the pitchers. And you can look at their velocity. You can look at it game by game, and you can look at their pitch selection game by game. I will say that I don't think Brooks Baseball is 100% accurate.
I don't think anybody's 100% accurate.
Yeah, I don't think they can be. It's not really a criticism, but I think it's better than anything else we could do. They do a really good job.
Right.
I get a lot of my stuff from Baseball Reference, honestly. And if you go to a player's page on Baseball Reference, and if you click more stats, you can go to their ratio stats, and you can see, like today, I compared Mike Trout, his walk percentage, his strikeout percentage, ground ball to fly ball, home run to fly ball ratio, those types of things. And there were some differences over the last few years. It was kind of interesting stuff, like the walk to strikeout
you did
ratio.
Ground ball to fly ball on Baseball Reference?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even know you could do that there. Probably under that blue stats tab.
Yeah, if you just click more stats and go down to ratio stats, you'll see all that stuff.
That's what I had to do to find Sandy Leon's BABIP for what it's worth.
But yeah, you can find BABIP there too. But it shouldn't be different than Fangraphs, and it is, which is why I still don't completely buy into advanced stats because it's still some of it is subjective.
What shouldn't be different from
ground ball to fly ball ratio?
Because there's some issues classifying fly ball versus line drive.
Right, that too. I mean, you can look up line drive percentage.
Right. So I do think the side I use the most is Baseball Reference, if for no other reason than because it has the calculation feature in the game log. You see a guy has started a hot streak on a certain date. You click on that date, and then you click on whatever end date you want, and it calculates all the stats in between. It's very useful.
Oh, God bless that feature.
And no other site that I've found does
it. It's the best. It's
yeah.
the best.
So that's the main reason. But I think you're kind of approaching this backwards. It should be more a matter of what stat you think is valuable, and then finding the site that offers that stat. FanGraph offers a lot that I haven't found elsewhere, particularly in terms of like batted ball data. And then, you know, Brooks Baseball seems to have the most accurate breakdown of pitch by pitch. So that's where I tend to go for that information and velocity and everything like that. So they're all useful, but it just depends what you're trying to look up.
All right, that's going to finish up today's show. I want to thank Scott White for riding solo today. Thank you all for listening. We do appreciate it. We'll come back tomorrow. If you have any more trades to grade for keeper leagues, if you want to do some approve the move, send us an email at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Until tomorrow, this is Fantasy Baseball Today. See you later. Machado.